Let the church say amen. Amen. It is good to be here. We're thankful to God who have given us the traveling grace to travel 750 miles from Metropolis, Illinois. And I want you to know that I still got it. I drove 748 miles. Amen. Not trying to say anything about my wife, but I just insisted on driving. Amen. I was just determined to get here and to take care of the things that I come to this part of the country for. I want to introduce my wife and present her to some of you all. Madre, would you raise your hand? Amen. So I got my wife here with me, and I'm thankful to God for that. Amen. Want you to know that she is the cheese on my burger. Amen. She is the icing on my cake. Amen. And I'm thankful to God for her. Unfortunately, my daughter couldn't be here. She wanted to be here. She felt kind of left out, us leaving and leaving her back in Metropolis. But she's trying to handle some business of her own. And I'm assuming it's okay to say that she is planning for a wedding. Amen. And so we're thankful for that as well. It's good to see Brother Brown. Good to see Sister Brown. And we're thankful, and it's good to see all the leadership that is here today. And when I look among the crowd, I not only see familiar faces and I'm reminded of the roots in which I've come, I also see commitment, I also see endurance, I also see dedication, and also see steadfastness. And it's always good to see that. Amen. It's always good to see it. Moreover, it's better to do it. So we're just thankful for that. Sometimes in the morning, my wife and I, we'll talk. And one morning we were talking, and I believe I'm the one that mentioned the word restrictions. And I thought, you know, I haven't really preached a lot of lessons on restrictions. And I asked God to help me to develop this lesson. So I went to my study and began to look and find out which way am I going and how would I present a message on restrictions. And so I asked God to help me, like I do as usual, to find out in what text that I'm going to be dealing with and how I would present this thought that I had in my head. Therefore, I was at the Burlington. They used to call it Burlington Coat Factory, but now they want to make more money, so they just call it Burlington. And I was in the back by the women's dressing room because I was talking to one of the workers back there that was a patron, that actually her grandson was a patron of mine in the barbershop. And this young lady came out of the dressing room with a blouse and a pair of pants clutched to her body. And she started crying. She started weeping. And, of course, I asked her what was going on and was it any way I could help her. And she said, well, I haven't been able to put on clothes this size in a long time. And so I realized it wasn't tears of desperation, it was tears of joy. And she began to talk to a complete stranger, which was me. She said, I had gastric bypass surgery. And I'm assuming that with that cutting away of the stomach, to restrict the stomach from eating or overeating. And so what she had done was restricted herself, and the restriction brought tears of joy to her life. And so it just happened I was right behind her and her mother, and I believe the other girl was her sister in the line. And I asked this young lady if I could perhaps mention this story in a message that I wanted to preach. And she okayed it, and I thanked her for that. But as I was thinking about this message, I said, "Thank you, Lord, because you gave me a sermon I could preach on restriction." And the fact that she was willing to make the sacrifice and go under the knife and let a complete stranger cut on her to try to restrict the food so she could accomplish her goals. And so I thought about Psalms 1. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of a scornful. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and he shall meditate upon his word both day and night. Then he said he's going to be like a tree that's planted not by the river, but by the rivers of water. Says his leaves shall not wither. And it said, not only that, but he's going to bring forth fruit in his season. And then he started talking about the ungodly, but the ungodly are not so. So what the writer is telling us in the book of Psalms is that if we restrict ourselves from the ungodly, we're going to be blessed. I want to say Happy New Year. It's not that far into the year. And I know many of us have made deliberate decisions. We've made resolutions. One of the problems with it, most of the time, it only stands for a day or two. But I decided that this year my resolution would be placing restrictions on what is taken away from my happiness and my blessings. You said, "Well, Brother Hudson, I thought you was always happy and I thought you were always blessed." But listen, let me tell you something. According to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, "I'm confident of this very thing, that the God which started the good work in you shall continue it until the Jesus Christ." You know what that let me know? I always got room for improvement. And I believe that's true with each and every one of us. No matter how we have been blessed, no matter how much we have prospered in our lives, that there's always room for improvement. And so what I decided to put restrictions on whatever is not blessing and bringing happiness into my life. And so I thought that I would share Psalms 1 with you. But the writer starts off in Psalms 1. And he uses Psalms chapter 1 as a catalyst for all the other Psalms. Because in the Bible, talks about either or. With God, there are no middle ground. You can't be almost right with God. And you can't be almost wrong with God. You're either right or wrong. God started that off from the very beginning in the book of Genesis. When he told Adam and Eve, he said, "Choose this day." He said, "Choose all these trees. You got a choice." He said, "Just don't mess with this one." You see how the devil is? He gave us all these trees, every tree of the God. Then he says, "Only one you can't have," and you go to get that very one. Isn't that something? But God gave a choice.
And all through the theme of the Bible, there is a choice. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, there's a blessing. There's a blessing for obedience, and there's a curse for disobedience. That's the way of Abel, and that's the way of Cain. Matthew chapter 7, there's the wide gate that leadeth to destruction, and the narrow gate that leadeth unto life. And there's always a choice between one or the two. And so the writer here tells us, you can either walk the way of the word of God, or you can deal with the ungodly. There's no middle ground. There are no middle ground. And so when we look at Psalms 1, we find that restrictions causes us to squander our precious time and resources. Sometimes it causes us to make poor decisions and ruin our blessings. So we need to put restrictions on the right thing. See, because you can put restrictions on the devil, which is good, and either you can put restrictions on God. Amen. And so the writer here tells us, Psalm 1 teaches us how to experience God's blessings. I'm 64 and my wife is pretty much finished with daycare. And she got a couple of little girls that she want to make sure that they're in school. And I think May is pretty much it. And I've even cut down the barbershop to 2 days a week just to kind of finish off, and so we're just kind of moving into this retirement thing. And I've made up my mind, amen, that whatever is hindering me and causing me not to be blessed and happy and prosperous, I'm going to get rid of it, amen. And that's what the word simply means. It means the word, that word blessed is the Greek, the Hebrew word usher. And it simply means, and it's plural. That's important because it means more than one thing. It means happinesses, not happiness, but happinesses, whole lot of happinesses. It means abounding in blessings. See, I want to go out the right way. Amen. Amen. I came in the wrong way, but I want to go out the right way. Amen. Amen. And it means experiences the full measure of joy and peace and prosperity with nothing withheld. Amen. With nothing withheld. And so the writer says that I can be blessed. And this word blessed is an interesting word in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 1, I believe verse 3, blessed be the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to tell us what these spiritual blessings are. That word blessed in Ephesians chapter 1 is the word eulogitos, the Greek word eulogitos. And it means that to be blessed means to have provision, prosperity, goodness, God's counsel, and God's help. And then you got another blessing, Matthew chapter 6. And it's the word, Greek word, makarios. And it means happy. It kins itself to this word, happiness, or happy. And it's the type of happiness that separates itself from circumstances. I mean, I can be happy. I don't have to be in a certain circumstance to be happy. For some, they're only happy when things are going good. And they're sad when things are not. But this type of happiness, amen, you can have this type of happiness whether the stock market is up or the stock market is down. I don't like to be spent around. Amen. You can be spent around. Stock market up, you're going this way. Stock market down, oh, you're going this. I don't like that. Amen. This is a happiness and a blessing that has that separates yourself from its circumstances. In other words, You can be happy without happening. See, the world's happiness, according to John chapter 14, something got to be happening before you can be happy. But this happiness is not based on happenings. I don't know about you, but I like that. So in Psalms 1, the psalmist teaching us how to experience God's blessing. And it emphasizes God's holy word. And it paints a picture of two men who follow sharply different ways of life. So look at Psalms 1 as the writer tells us that we need to remove some restrictions from our life. And when we remove the restriction is the wicked or the ungodly. And when we separate from that, we can be blessed. So whatever's ungodly in our lives, we need to do like the girl did to bring joy to her life. We need to cut it away. We need to separate it from our lives. And so he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, we need to steer clear of the lifestyle of the ungodly. We need to steer clear of the lifestyle of the ungodly. I'll tell the ungodly, I'll be your friend, but I'm not your partner. Because we got a lot of folk that's some kin to us in our families that are ungodly. But they still are friends. But they're not our partners. They're not our partners. We're not corporate to that lifestyle. And so we should want this year. We should want all the joy and the peace and the prosperity that we can get out of this Christian experience. Let us ask ourselves this morning, what is restricting us from achieving God's blessings? Let us ask this question in a corporate setting. What is restricting the church from achieving the ultimate blessings of God? Well, let me get a little bit more personal. What is restricting Sandy Lane from achieving the full joy, the full blessing, and the full prosperity that we can get out of this Christian experience? Mm-hmm. And see, when I first came back to the church, and I first came to the church, I had to put a lot of restrictions in my life. Because I can recall at one time, I think I was sitting four or five seats back or whatever, and coming fresh out of the world, there was a lot of distractions. So I sat up in the front seat. I didn't sit up in the front seat because I thought I was somebody. I sat up in the front seat because I was restricting the distractions that was causing me not to receive the full prosperity and blessings of God. And then I had to figure out a way to restrict certain things that I was involved in my lifestyle. I had to learn how to restrict those things. And so what I did, I gave up my freedom to shut the door and do what I wanted to do, to move it in the house with Alonzo Bates and John Red. Because that put restrictions on what I could do. Amen. And so, as a result of those restrictions, it began to bring some happiness and some joy and some deliberate decisions and some prosperity and some blessing in my life. Spiritually, I used to limp. Then I started walking. Then I started jogging. Come on, somebody. Then I started running. on the wings of eagles. Come on, somebody. And so my message to the church today is we need to restrict ourselves from the association with the ungodly. In other words, not approving of that lifestyle. Now, notice what the writer tells us about the ungodly. He said, don't walk with the ungodly. These three ways we can restrict ourselves from the ungodly lifestyle. First, we can walk not with the ungodly. In other words, I'm not going to associate myself with the purpose of the ungodly, with the plans of the ungodly, or with the schemes and with the ungodly daily lifestyle. I'm going to restrict myself of that. I'm going to cut it away. Secondly, I'm going to not stand in the way of sinners. If I truly want to be blessed, we need not to stand in the road or return for a visit to the way of sinners. Amen. And let me mention something I know perhaps from talking to others who've had this bypass surgery, gastric bypass surgery. If you go back to the same lifestyle of eating, come on somebody, not exercising, if you go back to the same thing, you'll become the same thing. And guess what? If you go back to that former lifestyle that brought sadness and ridicule in your life, that stomach will expand. So not only do we need not to walk or stand in the way of sinners, don't go back to the way of sinners. And who are the scorners? Those are those who criticize and talk about the godly lifestyle. They are those who have no respect for the word of God. They are those who could care less about the things of God and will restrict or impede our happiness and our blessings. Amen, somebody. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 16, chapter 2 and verse 16 said, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. We got to restrict ourselves from that particular lifestyle. If we desire to be blessed, we should not sit in the seat of those who arrogantly criticize and downplay the blessings of God. We were not those who would not disregard or who would disregard God's blessings. Instead, we should guard ourselves from being influenced with those who in mockery of God's word. Let us not cloud our minds and put restrictions on the Lord this year, but let us receive the blessings and take the journey of righteousness and walk day by day in the power of God's Spirit. Sometimes you can use the ungodly side as a way to appreciate the God side. We were looking at real estate all day Friday. And all the houses that we visited were good houses, but I didn't feel this joy. So it was a good strategy for us to look at what we didn't want. And when we did that, we appreciated what we did have or what we saw that was good that we wanted. I told the realtor, I said, we need to stop this search right now. And so she said, well, I'll take you to some new construction. So when we walked in and said, we like this. Yeah. You like this, don't you, Madre? So it took us to see the undesirable to appreciate the desirable. And so all of us should appreciate the things that God has done for us in our lives. After seeing all the unwanted stuff. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the ways of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. And, he says, and pass away. Watch this. Verse 3 and 4. No, verse 2 and 3. If you're devoted to God's word, and if you remove the restrictions, then you can release the blessings and happiness of God in your life. Why am I talking about happiness? And why is the writer talking about happiness? Because happy people do happy things. We just had a shooting in Texas at the Church of Christ. And the person that did the shooting won't happy. Because happy people are productive people. If you ever notice, maybe one day you get happy and say, man, I've been wanting to clean that garage up for years. I'm going to clean that garage up and down. Well, you feel happy. Huh? You ever notice, husband and wives, how when you got a little friction in your marriage, come on somebody. You no longer pass the butter. You don't pass the jam. You don't freely pass the salt and pepper. But when you made up with each other, oh, Lord have mercy. You got the napkin, salt and pepper. Some happy behavior have taken place. That's why I'm talking about happiness. See all kinds of unhappy folks. We were in the line in the grocery store yesterday, and we asked the guy, I wanted to know, the way they had it set up was kind of awkward. And I asked him, was he waiting in line? Yes, I am. I said, Marjorie, you're going to have to watch now. You learned something about Richmond. When you find people like that, just says, I'm sorry. Just say, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, brother. No problem. I'm sorry. Make sure you say you're sorry. Amen. You know, if you don't say you're sorry, they feel disrespected. Amen. We don't want to start nothing. Remember, we've been living in Mayberry for a long time. Mayberry folk are different than Richmond folks. Amen. Yeah, We've been living in an area that we brought a camper once. And, you know, we didn't really know anything about the camping life, but we didn't have family there. And we wanted to enjoy some kind of different vacation. And we're driving through the camping ground, checking out the camping ground. And two fellas over there, they looked like they were from the Beverly Hills village. Honey! Lord, have mercy. All right. So when you become a camper, you're a camper. You're one of them. Don't care how you look, what color you are, what culture you have, you're a camper. They saw me over there struggling with the camper and trying to get up the awning. Come on over and help me out. Then he started giving me all kinds of advice. Remember now, but when you get ready to pull off, make sure you got this down because you'll lose it. I've lost one. And so I told my wife, now you're going to have to learn now. Just say you're sorry and walk away. Amen. Yeah, we're using a place you go in. Good morning. How are you? I'm good. Happy folks. Watch this. Let me hurry up. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate both day and night. Watch it. Now his delight. Instead of following ungodly advice, guess what? The blessed person heeds the counsel of God inspired word. It's simple as that. And the happy person is guided by the light of wisdom of the scripture if we want to enjoy this filled and peaceful and happy life. But notice it says,
His delight. This delight. What I desire and what I enjoy. So what the Bible is saying, as it comes to God's word is something that we should delight, that we should desire, and that we should enjoy. Amen. I was talking to my aunt's husband this morning. I said, man, let me get up, because we're both going to be late here now. Amen. You done really started something now. We were talking, and oh man, we hit a chord. Say, oh man, let me say this while I'm walking away. We enjoy the word of God. One fellow told me, said, man, you'll never be a successful Bible in this town because you talk about the Lord all the time. You know what I told him? I said, when police get together, they talk about crime. When firefighters get together, they talk about fires. When housewives get together, they talk about housewife stuff. And when preachers get together, we talk about the Lord. So what makes us any different? Amen. Our delight, what I enjoy, is God's word. And you know something? It shouldn't be a burden to read God's word. Yeah. Sometimes I tell people, you know, yeah, that's the scripture. I know it's in Proverbs, but I don't know the exact verse. Just read the whole Bible. You'll find it. We should enjoy reading the word of God. We should enjoy studying the word of God. What do that mean? Well, we should enjoy Bible study. We should enjoy when the word of God is preached. When the word of God is obeyed, we should have joy in obeying the word of God. Matter of fact, we should even have a joy and delight by hearing or thinking about the word of God. So the Bible not only should capture our full attention, but it should claim our full attention. Not only am I attracted to the Bible, but I give my attention to the Bible. So if we want to be blessed, church, don't allow God's word to be restricted from your life. Joshua said in Joshua 1:8, he said, this book of the law should not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest observe it to do according to all that is written within. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. See, there's a difference in success and good success. Amen? So don't restrict God's word. Restricting God's word. We should want to see the results of God's word. Look at verse 3. Here's the results of God's word. And he shall be like a tree. He's saying that we're going to be like a tree. Planted by, not the river, but the rivers of water. And the result is it's going to bring forth fruit in the season, and your leaf should never, in other words, you'll be evergreen. Amen. Evergreen. And we were looking at real estate. The one thing I told her, I said, make sure these trees are a good distance from this house. Amen. That's a deal breaker for us. We cut down every tree on our property, and we get everybody leaves. And we got a fence. Once the leaves get in, they can't get out. Everybody else that don't have a fence to leave, just kind of visit them for a day or two, then they blow away. I get tired of raking them leaves every year. I don't want no trees, but just the little small trees like my daughter got in her yard. It's just, it don't get but so big. You can get out there and cut the leaves with a lawnmower. That's it. And his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever thou doest, thou shalt prosper. Wait a minute. He's like a tree planted. And so what happened is that the blessed man is like a tree, and God is the one that does the planting. As a matter of fact, get for me Isaiah chapter 61. Let me show you something. Isaiah chapter 61, and we'll be reading verse 3. Let me show you something about being planted.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion.
Oh, just a minute. Okay. Let me say something before you do that. So the blessed man is intentionally planted, wait a minute, in a carefully chosen spot by the river. Why? So it can receive plenty of water and so it can grow. And where we have every advantage of being fruitful. Every advantage of being fruitful. So God is the one that does the planting. And so God plants us. And when God plants us, he placed no restrictions on our happiness, on our growth. And he gave us everything we need to be blessed. Now see, all of us here, God, that word planting simply means to pull up by the roots and plant in a chosen given spot. God has a chosen given spot for every member of a body. According to Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, what God did, God took us from the kingdom of darkness because we were planted in the kingdom of darkness. And he took us from the kingdom of darkness. All of our roots were in the world. And he planted us, or transplanted us, or translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So what he did, he took us out of the world and put us in the perfect place in the church. God did the planting. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3 says what, Brother Lauren?
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion.
Read.
To give unto them beauty for ashes.
Beauty for ashes. I'm going to trade my ashes in for something beautiful. Read.
The oil of joy for mourning.
Oh, Lord, that happened joy stuff again. I'm going to replace joy for mourning. Oh, Lord, I hope y'all get this. Read.
The garment of praise for the spirit of
peace. Oh, Lord, I'm praising instead of worrying. Oh, I'm praising. He's going to replace because he planted me in his kingdom. And he's going to replace all that stuff with something good. Read.
That they might be called trees of righteousness.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Next time somebody called y'all the name, said that's not true. I'm a tree of righteousness. I'm a tree of righteousness. Now, what happened as a tree of righteousness? The what?
The planting of the Lord.
Oh, can you say it one more time?
The planting of the Lord.
The planting of the Lord.
That he
God
might be glorified.
Planted us. That I do what?
That he might be glorified.
See, when God plants you, you have some good stuff going on. Amen. And God's going to look good. The Lord will look good as a result. You make the Lord look good. So when God plants us, we can be happy while the winds of life rage all against us. We're still happy. You know how it feels to look out on calamity and you're standing right in the blessings of the Lord? You know what it feels like to bend and not break? Amen. Amen. That's what happens when we allow God to plant us. So, don't place no restrictions on God's word. We don't want our leaves to wither and fall off. Don't place restrictions on God's prosperity. John says in 3 John chapter 1 verse 3, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be good in health, even as thy soul prosper. We must constantly evaluate how much time we spend in God's word. we must constantly evaluate how much time we spend in God's Word. Don't allow your Bible to be Sunday and Wednesday Bibles. Don't allow your Bible to be Sunday and Wednesday Bibles. As a matter of fact, church, I want you to know, I finally graduated. I got big print Bible. Big print. Amen. Amen. I'm right in the ball game now. Amen. Big print. Amen. Big print. It lets me know I'm getting closer to glory when you get a big print Bible. My daughter, somebody gave her a Bible. I couldn't read one word in that Bible. I said, dang, you must got some really good eyes. Boy, that Bible print was small. I have to carry a big Bible. That's why I carry a big Bible. I got to have it. Amen. But we got to constantly evaluate how much, now this is serious, how much time we spend in God's Word opposed to the other interests. How much time do you spend looking at TV? How much time do we spend on the internet opposed to God's Word? How much time do we spend on sports opposed to the Word of God? My day was asking if the game, she thought the game was coming on yesterday with Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs. Amen. You know how long it was for me to get her interested in football? Amen. A game came on and she was really into it. I said, I got her now. Oh, I got her now. Yeah, I got her now. How much time do you spend in hobbies and entertainment opposed to the Word of God? We should delight in God's Word and we should enjoy the Word of God. Because when we don't, we become worldly, we become weak, we become prone to fall into temptation when we spend very little time in the Word of God. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. And so what I decided this year is I'm going to enjoy the full blessings of God in my life. And I've been investigating my life and finding out whatever is not bringing blessing and prosperity, I'm going to cut it away. I'm going to restrict it. I'm going to channel it some other way so I can be blessed and so I can be happy. Look at the psalm one more time and I'm done. I just want to point out this one point. Look at verse 3. What's the last word in verse 3? And in verse 4, he started talking about the ungodly. What's the last word in the ungodly? The word perish, isn't it? Huh? So we restrict ourselves from the ungodly and from the ungodly lifestyle. We're going to prosper. But the ungodly, in verse 4, say, is not so. And the Bible says that they shall perish. Two important P words. Prosper and perish. Uh-oh, there we go back to Genesis again. Choose you this day. Huh? Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Huh? Those folk or these folk. It's a choice that God gives us. A blessings or cursing. It's our choice. But what I want to say is that, you know, when you're happy, you said things to people that you don't even know. That girl was sharing stuff with me. She don't know who I am. She don't know who I was. But you know why she was sharing those things? Because she was happy. She didn't care who knew. Just like a man who just proposed to his fiance. Hey, we're getting married. You don't know those folk. It don't matter. I'm happy. You can enjoy that same happiness this morning if you're not a member of the body of Christ. That's where it all starts. Because God got to transplant you. You got to have a transplant. You got to take out of the old and put in the new. And there's a reason why you got to put in the new, because the old is old. If I do move here, I got to get used to this association thing. Yeah. Association fee. But what they're saying is that we want to make sure your new stay looking new.
And as I was riding through neighborhoods, I told Madre, I said, now see these houses here? They don't have association fees. They can do anything to these houses. They can leave bicycles and cars all in the front yard. I'll take the association fee. Amen. That's one thing. That's one reason I never got into renting any properties. Because I'm too particular. I ride by my properties and wonder why they kept them bikes outside like that. Hey, you should have put them things around the back. Wanted to look nice. Amen. And that's one thing I'll miss. If we do move, I'll miss my car wash. Amen. Got a little sticker I can go through once a day. Keep the car nice and good looking. Amen. Yeah, after 3 years, it still look like I just got it off the showroom floor. Amen. Looking nice. Keep it new. And those who have backslidden, you need to make your relationship with God new again. You need God to put repair you. Amen. Some of you might need to be repaired. But my message to you is, what is restricting you from crying tears of joy? I didn't say you had to get rid of it. Sometimes restriction calls for just modification. Amen. Don't go home and say, look, sweetheart, I know we've been married for a while, but you are affecting my joy. So I got to get rid of you. Uh-oh, please don't do that. No, just say, we need some modification. Amen. I know sometimes some sisters or brothers wish marriage was like an election. Baby, we're coming up on 5 years. I don't know if I'm going to vote for you this time. I don't know. Amen. Yeah. But we can't do that, can we? And neither can we do it with our marriage to the Lord. We don't want to vote the Lord out. So if you're not in fellowship with God, you're restricting the blessings and happiness upon your life. Because Satan always have a scheme. You're fighting against the wiles of the devil. You're fighting against the schemes and the trickeries and the slickness and slyness of the devil. Satan always has a plan to try to take us out. John revealed this to us. But the devil come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And that's what we're looking for. It's the abundant life of Jesus Christ. Amen. As they say in common language, I ain't playing no more. That's what they say in common language. Amen. Amen. If you step out of the professional position for a minute, I ain't playing no more. You ever been like that? Yeah. You get irritated with somebody, I'm not playing no more. We need to tell the devil, look, I ain't playing no more. That's it. That's it. I'm going to devote myself to the Lord and see what happens. Let me see what happens. If you're here today, you're not a Christian. God hadn't transplanted you yet. He hadn't taken out the old and put in the new. He hadn't taken your roots out of the world and plant you in beside the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in the season. And he will stop your leaves from withering. And he will cause your life to prosper. I read it. I believe it. It's active in my life. And when you're happy, you want somebody else to be happy. Amen? Amen. You want to spread the joy to someone else. God can. That's why Paul says, I can. God can do. That's why Paul says, God can do all things. And you know who the person is? Through Jesus Christ. We can. I know I've kept you long enough. I know I'm a 30-minute preacher, but I'm visiting. I am really a 30-minute preacher. I am. Because in the morning I preach for black church, and in the evening I preach for white church. And so it's a difference in the culture. In the white church, after 30 minutes, they begin to do stuff like take their glasses off, and might take their handkerchiefs out, and might start looking at their watch, and they're trying to tell you, that's it. I got your point. Amen. I got it. But I'm visiting. But I'm a 30-minute preacher. I really am. I'm a 30-minute preacher. So if you're here today and you're not a child of God, you come by hearing God's word. That's how it starts. We were in Burger King this morning, and she said, you're looking at these pictures. And I told my wife, I said, you know how this Burger King got started? With one thought. One thought. And looking at these pictures, that thought became a reality. And that reality grew, and it prospered. Now, some of us, we love Burger King. Amen. We don't care if we can have it our way or not. And I also told her, I said, one thing about that is that I don't hear people complain. Y'all been selling hamburgers for a long time. I'm tired of them old hamburgers. They're still eating hamburgers at Burger King. But when it comes to the church, I'm tired of it. Change some stuff. We need some change. We want to change everything in the church. When God said, don't change it, let's go tell Burger King to change their menu. Like the guy that walked in McDonald's. And the guy said, can I help you? He said, The guy said, man, we've had the same menu. Menu not changed. God's menu hadn't changed. You got to hear God's word. That's how it starts. It starts from a thought. I need to be saved. You need to believe it. Then you need to repent for your sins and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is going to plant us and make us, turn us from trees of unrighteousness to trees of righteousness. So if you're here today, please come. Please come. As we together stand, sing this song of invitation.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today, Jesus. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.